Okay, this is More Attitude Adjustment on EEA Radio. I'm Paul Prydecker, joined with my good friend and colleague, Mike Morgan. Mike,
how hey,
you doing
Paul.
How are you doing this morning?
Good to see you and hear you.
Yeah, everything's good. So we're continuing to work with our good friends with NACA, representing the air traffic control providers in the National Airspace System. So we have Allison Schwagel, who is from St. Louis Tower, and Brittany Armbrust, who is in Tower and Approach Control, TRACON, at Colorado Springs. Welcome.
Thank you.
Yeah, we're glad to see you guys, always. A friend of mine was having a conversation with me, and I was telling him, you know, so-and-so was a good pilot, and he said to me, well, Paul, what's a good pilot? And I thought about that for a moment, because we use that pretty casually. Oh, he's a good pilot. And I said, well, I think a good pilot is somebody who's a master of the aircraft, but also a master of the situation, knowing what's going on around you at all times. So, Allison, how do we educate people to take that approach about being aware?
I think first and foremost, working hard at understanding your aircraft and understanding your situation and confidence helps with that, but also taking it seriously, paying attention, listening for your call sign is important, and things along that nature. Brittany, do you have anything to add to that?
I would just say, yeah, the hear back, read back of the situation for sure. Anytime we have to repeat ourselves, especially when we're busy, it just kind of puts us further and further behind. And we understand that people are training and they're also busy in the cockpit. And so, but if we could get everybody on the first transmission, that would help us.
Sure. So you talk about situational awareness being sort of aware of what's happening on the radio and listening for yourself. You know, in training, the concept of situational awareness gets spread to a lot of other ideas. Listening to the radio is just one of them. So, where's your emphasis here? How do you avoid, what's the word I'm looking for? How do you avoid starving the pilot of situation awareness resources? Right, because we're asking him to say, we're asking him to be aware of this, be aware of that, be aware of this other thing. How do you balance that?
So my technique is to say as much as I can in as little words as possible. So all of my words have meaning, and I try to make it quick and concise. And I try to make sure that when I'm getting to numbers or something that they're going to have to remember or repeat back to me, maybe I'll talk very quickly with the little stuff. But when it's important, I will slow down my cadence and I'll speak a little more clearly and more direct. And the other thing, to your point about it's not just read back and hear back, the situational awareness, especially on the airfield. I'm a tower controller, so the airfield is small. And if you see something, say something. We are people, and we will make mistakes. But if something doesn't look right, be very clear and ask, is this a vehicle? Is that vehicle all the way off the runway if you see something that we don't say? Or if you don't remember that you're cleared to land, ask. If you see something on the runway, a lot of times pilots will say, verify we're cleared to land.
Sure.
And maybe they see something, and instead of saying, I see a vehicle on the runway, they ask, verify we're cleared to land. So I think being clear and being very direct is also important.
I think another part of this, too, is, and I've been an instructor for years, is to make people aware that they're not the only one in the sky. If 10 miles away an aircraft is getting holding instructions at an airport that you're going to, that might mean something to you.
Yeah,
that yeah, definitely.
You might need to get ready to, you know, copy a clearance. And, you know, the worst thing in the world is for the plane to get to the airport before your brain does. And if you can mitigate that by just staying aware, it really helps.
Yeah, it definitely does. And also, I mean, same situation you might hear in an aircraft go around. Hey, we went around. Hey, it was due to wake turbulence. Mm-hmm. Or now there's microbursts on the field. Whatever is happening, especially this time of year, there's a lot of thunderstorms, and maintaining awareness of what's happening with that weather as it moves through is very important. And always ask questions, like Allison said. If you have a question on a heading or an altitude, make sure you verify that. And additionally, with talking to all the airplanes, we're working multiple frequencies usually, especially since we're short-staffed. Just because you only hear my voice doesn't mean there's not another voice answering me somewhere else that I'm also paying attention to.
And that's also true if you're working military traffic, isn't it?
Yes.
Because they're on a completely different different part of the system.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I've worked in a lot of crew environments, and I used to counsel, you know, the crews to say, if one of you have a discussion between, you know, if you're having a discussion between yourselves about what was that clearance or what was that altitude, sometimes the best thing to do is not have a discussion, you know, between yourselves, but go back and ask, because both of you could be wrong.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah. We're always here to help you. We want to make sure that we have a meeting of the minds, that we're both on the same page, that we know that we have clear, concise communication and understanding of what we want you to do.
You know, one of the things that I would not want to have happen is that I would not want to be known to the controllers at my home airport as the person who's always asking a second time or whatever. And I just wonder if that's an influence on the way people look at talking to you guys and asking the same question more than once sometimes.
So I've heard that from other pilots before. I don't think that I can remember a single pilot that has asked me, like, specifically, obviously it happens, but specifically a call sign or a type of aircraft that I'm like, oh gosh, this guy again.
Yeah, you know, there
he's asking two or three
we
times every time. Yeah, I'm not doing that. You know, we want you to verify. We want you to be sure, even if you have to ask me five times because you've been task saturated for whatever reason. I want to make sure we're all on the same page.
But we all remember the aircraft that crossed the runway without a clearance.
Yes.
And didn't hold short. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think that's a concern that I would have as a controller either.
Agreed. Yeah, I'd rather have you verify than descend into a departure.
We are talking with Allison Schwagel and Brittany Armbrust. Allison works in the St. Louis Tower, Brittany in the Colorado Springs TRACON. And so we're going around and around today on situational awareness, how to maintain it, what does it mean in terms of controllers, and what are the other things that compete for pilots' time?
I think the other thing, too, I hear, especially from the general aviation pilot scheme, is they listen to airline pilots on the radio, and they, you know, you hear, oh, well, they say it so easily and they seem to get everything right. Important part that general aviation pilot needs to know is that the guy on the radio is not flying the airplane. The guy on the radio is the guy on the radio, so he can devote his brain resources to that. When I'm holding on to the airplane, sometimes, you know, my brain is draining out on the floor, and you kind of lose, you know, this ability to process. But in a crew environment, your buddy's there doing the talking, so of course it's easy. And plus, we do a lot of the same things over and over. I mean, by the time you've gone to Lincoln, Nebraska four times that day, you've got it figured out.
We keep that in mind too. We know when it's a November call sign. We usually maybe talk a little bit slower and understand they don't have the resources available to them when they're flying the airplane.
Yeah,
it also helps if maybe you are unfamiliar. Just let us know. Like, we'll help a little more. You know, we'll make sure to give you a progressive taxi clearance. We'll give you one instruction instead of three at a time.
And that's so important, because at some airports, operating on the ground is the most difficult part. You know, getting there is easy. It's just, okay, now what? And the idea about going back to basics and just saying, hey, I'm unfamiliar, I need a progressive. I mean, you'd rather have that than to have somebody crossing a runway, right?
Absolutely, yeah. I never mind a progressive taxi. I know some people are hesitant to ask for it. I've talked to a couple pilots, and I would never be concerned with that.
So I've asked this question before, and I think you already heard it, Allison, so this will be for you. You have a wand. You're going to wave it over the pilot community and fix something. What would that be?
My one and only answer to this is hear me the first time. Mm-hmm. I know that's not possible. You know, we know that's a magic fix that would be amazing, but a saved transmission is a good one. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, if everybody could answer on the first call, that would be the one thing I would change.
And, Allison, you were kind of talking about how you know, you might slow down a little bit or, you know, keep things precise. It reminded me of a show in the 1960s called Dragnet, which is a police detective show. And one of his famous things where, I just want the facts, ma'am.
Yeah.
So, you know, when a pilot is reading back everything, he doesn't need to read back every word. He just needs, you know, heading altitude and make sure we've got that right.
One more thing that I'll say very quickly is that just because it's legal and you can do something doesn't always mean it's the safest option. If you're going to skirt a Bravo airspace or something like that, call us for our situational awareness so we know your altitude and we know what you're doing.
Absolutely.
So, Allison and Brittany, what are the kinds of things that you're presenting on this week or talking to AirVenture guests about as they pop into your booth?
I am, tomorrow I'm giving a presentation on high altitude flying and situational awareness kind of on, excuse me, with high terrain, since I work in Colorado, there's a lot of mountains there.
And every morning we have a Q&A with pilots, so it's you get Wings credit for it. It's a short presentation, and then it's focused on Q&A, so any questions that you have for your traffic controllers. But come by the booth. There's always controllers there. We're really wanting to talk to you. We're here just to talk to you, to do outreach.
Do you get questions about becoming an air traffic controller?
Yeah, I've had quite a few. Yeah, we did a tour yesterday with some young ladies up to the tower, and a lot of them wanted to be controllers, which was exciting to me. We've had a lot of that. There's a lot of different routes right now, but we can all help you, kind of point you in the right direction, tell you how we got to where we were, the booth.
And spoiler alert, we have a guest on Saturday from NATCA who's going to talk specifically about that. So if you're listening to EAA Radio and interested in that topic, we'll go deep on Saturday.
You mentioned staffing. We know it's a topic on the news. We know it's critical, and I hope for everybody's sake that, you know, we get it solved, we get the funding, we get the training. So I know it's something we've been talking about for seems like years now.
It's definitely been years, and we appreciate the support. Yeah.
Talking with Allison Swagel and with Brittany Armbrust from St. Louis and Colorado Springs, respectively, about situational awareness and making sure that you're communicating well, properly, and as much as needed with air traffic control. Thanks for your time, ladies.
You guys do a great job. We think you're the best.
Oh, thank you so much.
This is EAA Radio.